Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour 2 on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1, where Colin was right and wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Just order Jersey Mike's through their app for no-contact delivery or no-contact-at-the-door pickup. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Joy Taylor is joining me. Mark Cuban around the corner. J.J. Watt has been traded, or excuse me, J.J. Watt has signed a 2-year, $31 million deal. $23 million guaranteed to the Arizona Cardinals, so that came out a little bit of left field, but DeAndre Hopkins, a former teammate in Houston, was very convincing, and so Arizona, a team that in a division with a lot of great quarterbacks, you need a pass rush, and now suddenly they have an elite pass rush with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt.
I think it's great for Arizona. I don't think Arizona is better than Cleveland, Buffalo, or Green Bay.
No.
So it's... And listen, go where the money is and where you have great value.
It's a great place to live.
Great place to live.
Opposite of Wisconsin weather.
It doesn't have Wisconsin weather.
A little bit of a kick in the
teeth. Or Buffalo's weather or Cleveland's weather.
A little bit of a kick in the teeth to Aaron Rodgers.
Is that how we're looking at this?
Well, a little bit.
I mean, maybe they just couldn't afford him.
That's funny. They can never afford anybody.
I tend to agree with you. I would like for them to be more aggressive, and I thought he would been great there, but who's to say he wanted to play there? I just don't know that this makes them a Super Bowl contender.
Well, it doesn't, but it would have made Green Bay better.
Yes.
I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just saying they couldn't afford Robbie Anderson, Jared Cook. They got two free agents last year, and one of them got released over the last couple days. Christian Kirksey. They can't afford Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Well, get a different bank.
They need to figure out the bank that the Rams use.
Yeah, and the Browns.
Yes. Sign up for that bank.
I think it's in Switzerland. They hide a lot of money. The Caymans.
They always got money.
All right, here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Wilson's been unhappy last couple of years, finally going public. I've said this. Pete Carroll's a great coach. Let's stop the worship. Let's hold him accountable. Apparently this weekend, Russell Wilson made it clear he doesn't love Pete Carroll having his sons on the staff, which has been a trend that, frankly, I'm a little concerned with. There's a lot of good coaches out there. Prefer not kids getting the jobs, but whatever. I've said this before. Russell hasn't been happy. Now he's going public. I do think Pete, since Paul Allen died, has nobody holding him accountable. And according to Albert Breer, they may move Russell Wilson.
Where Colin was wrong.
Brooklyn Nets had an 8-game winning streak snapped, but I got to be honest. They're not only good, they're good quickly. They're number one in points. They're number one in offensive rating. They're first in field goals. It's all worked very quickly. Durant's leadership helps. Listen, Kyrie and James Harden at this point are getting along, and it's working. It feels like a tinderbox to me, but listen, you look at the East right now, no way Boston can match up offensively. They just put too much pressure on a defense. And so it's working quickly, good enough to often miss one of their stars and still win.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Zion Williamson, where are all the critics now? Fourth youngest all-star ever. What about his defense? What about it? Young guys are never great at defense. Charles Barkley had a great career, wasn't a great defensive player. In February, he averaged 27 points and 65% field goal percentage. That feels pretty effective to me. He's been better statistically every month. I've loved this kid at Duke. I think he's got a real self-awareness. I think he's explosive. I think he's Charles Barkley, but stronger. I think he's Karl Malone, but more dynamic. And I think he has the potential for a better jump shot than Blake Griffin.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Steelers apparently have caved on Big Ben. It's pretty obvious the GM doesn't want him, but the Rooneys want to miss the playoffs again or get there and lose. He has not won a playoff game over a Pro Bowl quarterback in a long time, 13 years. Down the stretch, he was a wreck, 1-4, 12 touchdowns, 8 picks. I think he has aged poorly because he's never been physically committed. Frankly, I'm not sure he's always been mentally committed to the sport. He's just damn talented, but the Rooneys caved, and they're going to bring him back.
Where Colin was right.
Said it for years, every golfer owes a debt of gratitude to Tiger Woods, and they all wore yesterday a fitting tribute to somebody that changed their lives. Tiger Woods had the unique ability to humiliate you on Sunday and double your paycheck on Monday. He literally entered the sport. Nobody made $1 million. 9 years later, 45 million golfers made $1 million annually. I love this. I'm a sucker for some stuff like this. And Rory McIlroy even wore red. Of course, Tiger looked a little more ripped than some of the golfers, but nonetheless, I thought it was a wonderful tribute.
Where Colin was wrong.
I think I like Teddy Bridgewater more than NFL people. I always thought he and Alex Smith are the best bridge quarterbacks in the league. They can win games. They can get you to the playoffs. Apparently, Matt Rhule, the head coach in Carolina, is done after 1 year. Now, he did not play particularly well. They were 4-11. He was as a starter. He had his, 15 TDs, 11 picks. Like Alex Smith, he's not going to carry a team, but he's mature. He's smart. He learns a playbook, but they're moving off him. So the reports are either in free agency or the draft, Carolina's going to get a quarterback.
Where Colin was right.
John Lynch announced last week, finally, Jimmy Garoppolo's our quarterback. We got to hold on here. Jimmy Garoppolo won in high school. He won in college. He's won 75% of his games in the NFL. Yes, he gets hurt. It's a problem. I would draft a quarterback. I get it. I would draft a quarterback with my 12th pick if one's available. But this idea you're just going to scoot him out of town and replace him with the reckless Marcus Mariota, the reckless Sam Darnold, the guy wins. Never forget, Belichick loved him. Kyle Shanahan traded for him, and he wins 75% of his games. He's good. Let's stop arguing.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've never been a big fan of retread NBA coaches. Tom Thibodeau got hired by the Knicks. I thought, oh, brother. But they've won 7-9. This morning, they would host a playoff series. Now, Julius Randle's had a good year. He's a nice player, but it's Derrick Rose has played okay. But it's a roster of kids and C players. But now I will say this. Thibodeau will just play all his best players 40 minutes. They'll probably pass out in about 3 weeks. But they're playing well, and I've always said the NBA is better when the New York Knicks are good. It's fun. Madison Square Garden, it's got its own vibe, it's got its own juice, it's got its own energy, and I love seeing the Knicks be relevant.
Where Colin was right.
I'm the biggest Utah Jazz fan in America that doesn't live in Utah. They are 23-3. They destroyed the Lakers last week. And Quinn Snyder, their coach, who was the best high school basketball player in the state I grew up with when I was in high school, has never really gotten kind of the respect. Maybe it's because Utah's a small market. He's got a lot of Brad Stevens. The difference is he's good at coaching stars. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a star. This is a really good team. Their big problem is, do they have a wing defender that can give LeBron at least trouble? And I don't know if they do. But this is a really good basketball team with a star center, a great rim protector, Joe Ingles. They got four guys, I think, in the top 100 shooting threes. Donovan Mitchell can play both ends. I love him.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, I said when Steve Sarkisian took the Texas Longhorns job, I said, 3 weeks later, you're going to see this guy is going to get rolling fast. They are already number 4 nationally in recruiting. He just landed a 5-star quarterback out of Los Angeles, a top safety out of Texas. And in a month, he has already made substantial inroads to in-state recruiting. And that is where Tom Herman struggled. Herman won games. He had lost some of the high school coaches in Texas, and they run that program. Sark is a guy that made a mistake in his life. And on Twitter, that means your life is over. But in real life, it doesn't. People make mistakes all the time. We have to, as a society, understand there are do-overs. You get mulligans. Are you a good person? Steve Sarkisian, who I've known for a long time, good guy, made a mistake, really, really smart. And I've said it before, I don't know why this is, but it is. I've always had a soft spot. Maybe it's the uniforms. Maybe it's because I love Austin, Texas. But I've always had a soft spot for Texas Longhorns football. College football needs USC, the Miami Hurricanes, and Texas to be good. College football has, I like a little glamour with my sports. Miami Hurricanes, I miss you. USC, Texas, I miss you. Good for him. Mark Cuban's not here yet. We're going to take a break. By the way, Cardinals, it's a big story. Arizona Cardinals landed J.J. Watt. I got to tell you, so just think about this. We got Carson Wentz to a team. We got Matt Stafford to a team. We got J.J. Watt to a team. I love it. I love all this stuff. This is the second day out of three shows, we've had a story break right as we did the show. So listen, Russell Wilson doesn't like his offensive line. He's going to like it less now.
I know. If the first thought is, okay, the Cardinals' defense is going to be a problem. Second thought is, well, Green Bay still not aggressive. Third thought is, yeah, whatever we thought about Russell Wilson wanting to get out of there before just got accelerated.
It does feel, it's not, I just think he's Wisconsin bred. And Green Bay always can't find the money. I'm not saying, it felt like to me Buffalo and Green Bay were the two places that if you landed him, they're very good cakes. They just needed a layer of icing, and J.J. Watt was the icing. Arizona, it feels a little bit more like a money grab, a little bit more. And it all, well, hey, by the way, I don't care. And the second thing, it does feel like Steve Keim, the GM of Arizona, said, listen, man, now Stafford's in our division. So I got Garoppolo, Russell Wilson twice a year in Stanford, and I got a young emerging quarterback, but I got a kid. So they drafted Isaiah Simmons, I think, last year, the kind of very versatile defensive player. A couple years ago, they got Chandler Jones. Now they're getting J.J. Watt. So what it tells me, Arizona probably moves in the draft toward offensive players to help Kyler Murray.
They should.
Yeah. I don't remember Arizona's draft particularly well. They went and got Isaiah Simmons early. Did it lean O or D? I'm not sure, but it's when you go out and get a big free agent signing on the defensive side, that tells you maybe you've identified already some offensive pieces you like. So, listen, Arizona's got players.
They were fun last year.
Oh, no. Great television product. We're always a great team, but Kyler Murray got better.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, for the last 20, 21 years, he's been the majority owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's an investor, an entrepreneur. You see him on the Shark Tank. I would say of all the owners in professional sports, he feels the most like us. Not just the jeans and the T-shirt, but he's outspoken. He yells at referees. He is us as an owner. And I get the great pleasure of interviewing Mark a handful of times every couple of years, and he is now joining us live, where Mark has invested, he told me last week, in a Peloton. So this is the new slip. Have you already done your Peloton ride this morning?
No, not yet today. I'm on the road, so no Peloton today. NBA protocol. Okay. I can only do it at my house.
Okay, so I want to talk about Luka. So I first heard about Luka, and I was skeptical. He was a European player. He was very young. And I'm like, you know, I saw the video. He doesn't look like a great athlete. I mean, I'm sure he'll score. He's highly skilled. And then all of a sudden, about 15 games into his career, LeBron's tweeting him like, we got ourselves a star. When did you know, Mark? Because Dirk took a while to be great. When did you know in your staff, we have an all-time great potential player?
Probably about five games in. Wow. When everybody who started playing with him loved playing with him, and he was doing things that you never imagined a 19-year-old kid to do. That was just like off the charts. That, you know, it was hard to believe that, you know, a 10-year veteran could do those things, and Luka was doing them as a rookie. Like everybody has said, you can't speed him up. He plays at his own pace. He thinks three steps ahead of everybody. He knows where everybody is on the court. You know, he's just got the ability. And plus, I think, you know, what was uncertain about him being a superstar was how well he would improve during the offseason. And he's gotten better every single year. You can just list off the things that he's done to improve his game. And to me, that's the true measure of a superstar. What can you add to your game?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, even LeBron has tweaked his game seemingly every couple of years. You know, I could make the argument, you know, Dirk's, someone's going to argue, the greatest international player ever. You may have the next great international player. So take my audience, because, you know, you're a business guy. You're a global thinker. What did you learn with Dirk that you can now practically use with Luka in marketing, in development, in relationships, all in?
I think it wasn't so much that we learned in terms of business. It was more we learned in terms of personality. You know, Dirk has a heart of gold. He's the first to go to a hospital without the team asking. And, you know, and Uncle Dirk is showing up in Santa's outfits, you know, and being there with kids and not telling anybody until the kids post something on Instagram. And Luka's a lot the same way. When, you know, we learned that with great athletes who are really great in the community that have great hearts, you just got to enable them and let them go and let them be themselves. Don't try to say, okay, this is what we need you to do for the team. Just let them do what they do for the community and for people in need. And to me, that's everything. And you saw that with Dirk. And I think Luka saw that with Dirk when they were together, Dirk's last year, that was important. And it became important to Luka.
Mark Cuban joining us. Mark, I've said this before. It's a mystery in sports I don't get. Is that I've said if I was an NBA free agent, I could literally go to Dallas. The arena's next to a Ritz-Carlton. I could live there. No state tax. I have a marketing genius as an owner. It's a really nice city for a young man. It's beautiful people, fun, lots to do, you know, great airports everywhere. And yet, you finish second sometimes in free agent pursuits. And I think to myself, you're the kind of guy that's gonna get in your head. You're gonna think about that. I mean, I've argued, is it because it's seen as a football market, or that Cuban's the star? Like, I don't get it. Are you worried about that as you try to land a great player with Luka going forward?
No, not at all. I mean, people talk about that, but they fail to realize that we didn't have cap room for, you know, the first 15 years that I owned the team, and so yeah, we haven't gotten, you know, maybe, you know, the superstar. Leaving their team, you know, to come play with somebody with us. But we've only really had cap room 4 or 5 years. And so it's not something I'm worried about. I mean, who's not going to want to play with Luka? He makes everybody on the court better. And he's got the personality that just makes playing the game a joy. So it's not something I'm worried about at all.
You know, I've said this before. When you're on Shark Tank, and everybody watches Shark Tank, those are usually what they call B2C businesses. Those are businesses selling to consumers. Now, there's there's B2B, business to business, which I'm sure you've got a bunch of those too. But with a business to consumer business, optics matter. Aesthetics matter. What it looks like matter. What's the emotion it sends to me? So when I look at the NBA right now, one of the reasons I'm fascinated with Zion is sort of the conflict, the aggressiveness at the rim and dunking. Do you worry at all with the NBA that the three-point shots become so easy? I mean, I'm looking at Luka's numbers. That it's now, you come down on a fast break, Mark, pull up and hit a three. That the aesthetically, the game is just all jump shots. Do you think about that? Does it concern you?
Yeah, I think about it a lot. It hasn't got to the point where it concerns me yet, because what's changed is we used to have the big beast, right? You had somebody that was stronger, bigger, like Shaq, and even the Hakeems and the David Robinsons were just beastly, right? They could overpower you. But now in the pick and roll world, you've got guys who can really jump, who are really tall, but aren't really the beat down and you know, beat you up in the paint type guys, because you got to be able to guard some on the perimeter. And so you don't see the big beast down by the paint, by the basket, just dunking on people, except for maybe Boban sometimes. And so, yeah, it sometimes I wish that we had those battles of the bigs down there where they're just banging on each other. But, you know, the other side of the coin is you look to what kids are doing with their game, and everybody's learning to shoot threes. Yeah. I mean, if you can shoot it, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's what? It used to be that someone shooting 40% in the NBA was a marksman, right? That was just like the sign of an amazing elite shooter. And now there's, you know, people right around 50%. They're shooting not just from the 3-point line like we used to, but 5, 10, 15 feet behind it and making them at 35, 40% clips. So you really got to give credit to, you know, player development and kids coming into the game learning how to shoot.
Yeah. You know, I've heard football coaches say this. If you play in a division with like Tom Brady, then when you draft players that can get to Tom Brady. He affects how you draft. When LeBron came west, did all you guys with the Mavericks sit down and go, okay, we may have to get somebody who can guard LeBron. Does he affect how you think going forward in the West?
Not so much right now. I mean, we used to do that when the Mavs and the Spurs were at the top of the Western Conference. Then you'd say, okay, how are we going to guard Tim Duncan? How are we going to deal? Because they had so many players that were that good. But now, you know, the West is just so good. And teams have so many great players. You can't just pinpoint against one and say, okay, you know, let's just worry about defending him. Because, you know, there's so much space on the court and there's so much skill, like we were just talking about, that it's not ever just about one guy anymore. It's about the whole team. And as a matter of fact, you see that now when you have just one superstar and maybe not as much talent, or somebody got hurt, they're not nearly as effective because it takes more than one great player to have a great team in the Western Conference.
So listen, you talk about a lot of big issues. Here's a non-sports issue. I see Johnson & Johnson just came out with a vaccine. It's a single shot. And I look at the vaccine and I watch your NBA games and there's not fans there. You have to be an optimist to be a billionaire. My theory on this is business is so hard. You can't get to where you're at as a cynic. You have to believe there's a solution to stuff. That's just my theory on it. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel for the pandemic we're in as a sports owner? Like in your mind this morning, how do you feel about where we're going on that?
Oh yeah, absolutely positive. And you're right. You have to see solutions. An opportunity. But I look at the Johnson & Johnson to come out and people say, well, it's only 73% efficacy and it's one shot. And I'm like, that's perfect for kids. You know, start with high school kids that, you know, my 17-year-old daughter thinks she's invincible and her peers and, you know, middle school kids. And, you know, let's get them the Johnson & Johnson shot because it's easy just to get them one. They're less susceptible in many respects than older Americans are. And that takes care of a lot of the carriers. So with that in mind, you know, I literally had a conversation with our folks, with Cynthia, our CEO, and it was like, okay, let's get to 4,500, you know, in the next couple weeks. And then, you know, we're playing in April and May. It wouldn't be inconceivable if vaccines are readily available and we have more vaccines than people wanting them to open the arena back to, you know, 10,000, 15,000 or more.
By the way, you have to have great discipline to be where you're at in life, yet I still see you occasionally chirp at referees. Isn't there a little voice in your head that goes, Mark, you're on camera. Just don't say anything to that referee. He butchered a call. Do you ever have that self, that governor in yourself where you're like, oh, God, I'm yelling. This is going to be on, you know, SportsCenter.
Yep. Yeah, I do. But, you know, everybody's got something, right? You know, you've been around me and talked to me and other, you know, other than those 2 hours during an NBA and a Mavs game, not even someone else's game, just a Mavs game. Those 2 hours, that's who I am, right? That's where I let out all my stress and I'm screaming and I'm yelling. And the other 22 hours of the day, you know, I'm just calm, cool, and collected. It's just everybody's got something that they use as a stress release, and that's mine.
Mark, absolute pleasure seeing you. Mark Cuban, a Shark Tank, Mavericks majority owner. I love talking to you, buddy. Thank you.
Anytime, Colin. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Mark Cuban. Yeah, I always, whenever I see Mark chirping at a ref, I think, Mark, you're on television. You're Mark Cuban. You can't do that. But it's just, you know, you get into that. Like, Steve, have you ever seen Steve Ballmer at a game for the Clippers?
Yeah.
He's doing stuff with his body. I don't even think he's aware of it. I'm dead serious. He's doing stuff with his hands. I don't think Steve's aware he's doing it.
I like it. I like seeing a passionate owner.
Well, I like my owner.
Like, you want the owner to care about winning and losing as much as you do as
a fan. I want
him
to be pissed when the team loses.
Yes.
Yes, I want them to be upset. There's something funny about an owner yelling at a referee. I mean, if you just say that out loud, what's the owner doing tonight? Is he upstairs with the – no, he's screaming at the referees. There's something so regular about that. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So Tom Brady may be the GOAT – now.
Right.
But when he was coming out of college, he was not exactly expected to have the success that he has today.
True.
The scouting report on him was not particularly flattering. Teams were concerned about his physical attributes. Bleacher Report tweeted an old video that showed him talking about those reports, and he still finds motivation from them 21 years later. King Petty, Tom Brady. He responded to the video on Twitter saying, "It still gets me fired." You know, so the critiques in the video are that he has a poor build, he's skinny, he lacks great physical stature and strength, and he gets knocked down easily.
Okay, can I defend him on this? 20 years ago, athletes weren't as jacked. Like, I'll give you an example. I can remember this. Boy, I'm showing my age here. I can remember being a kid and reading a story that Jim Rice and Fred Lynn for the Red Sox were into weights. I'd never read that before. Now, Fred Lynn lives in Southern California, big baseball guy. They were great baseball players forever for the Red Sox. And I remember reading an article, and they were having a great year, and they're like, well, this new thing, they're really into weightlifting, which for years, baseball players stay away from. And Fred Lynn was pencil thin, right? Like, he's just a thin dude, an athlete. 22 years ago, first of all, I don't want my quarterback to be ripped. I don't.
Right.
I don't want my quarterback to be ripped. It just feels like everybody's got a personal trainer. Everybody, that's easy to make fun of now. But if Tom came out now, he wouldn't look like that.
Yeah, Colin, come on, though. Like, there's a reason this picture always comes up. It's not the most flattering picture. It's not. I mean, we've seen his 40. He's got these giant shoes on, like, clucking down the field. There's a reason he went in the sixth round. Now, I love that he pulls motivation from this still, and he's the ultimate chip-on-the-shoulder guy, which you need to be when you're doubted. Some people, they get doubted or they get overlooked, and it becomes them in the negative way. And other people do it and channel it into this insane driving force, which Tom Brady's obviously done.
Look, show the picture again. If I would have told you 22 years ago, you are looking at will be the greatest football player and marry a supermodel.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. but listen, like, he was drafted in the sixth round. I don't give anyone any credit for taking Tom Brady. Like, you don't get credit for taking someone in the sixth round. Tom Brady gets the credit for that.
Yeah.
Anyone who is that successful taken that late, they get the credit for it.
Thank you.
There were tons of teams, every other team passed on him, including the Patriots, many times.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get credit for that. Like, right. that was Tom Brady's doing.
Whenever I hear, you know, this coach makes his kids, they care about grades. I'm always like, I always said Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight's kids go to class. The kid gets credit for that. He's doing the algebra test, not
right.
The coach.
He's not in there. He's not in there on study tables with him. That's Tom Brady's doing. So the Cowboys were one of four teams that Russell Wilson said he would waive his no-trade clause for. A trade is reported to be extremely unlikely, with one Cowboys source calling it laughable. But Michael Irvin is adding a little fuel to the fire, saying quarterbacks suddenly have the power to leave a team. But that also means they have the power to come to a team. Russell Wilson wants Dak's chair.
I would be very careful about laughable. Yeah, I can take the last 10 big deals, and you would never have guessed. I mean, the Dodgers wouldn't really pay anybody big money, anybody except Clayton Kershaw. And all of a sudden, they stepped up and paid Mookie Betts a record deal. Like, J.J. Watt to Arizona, Tom Brady to Tampa. Have you noticed a trend? All these big moves now shock us. The stuff that on paper looks like it'll work, it's not what's happening. We're seeing these the Dodgers were winning their division and just were very reluctant to go all in. And then all of a sudden we're like, the Red Sox gave up Mookie Betts. What? And the Dodgers finally paid somebody.
Those are very aggressive moves, and they're paying off.
Okay, Kevin Durant to the Warriors. Were we not shocked by that? I mean, Kawhi to the Clippers.
And we were shocked by Kevin Durant to the Nets.
So tell me the last big move that you were like, yeah, saw that coming 3 years ago. If Russell Wilson moves, it's going to be like...
Well, I mean, Wentz-Colts was kind of like, we kind of saw that one.
Wentz, for the record, the star had... It was a fallen star.
Yes, yes. Well, Russell Wilson signed a 4-year contract extension with the Seahawks worth $140 million in 2019. So he would count as $39 million in dead cap this season for Seattle if he's traded for before June 1st. It's not an ideal situation as far as the money goes, but like to Albert Breer's point earlier, it's starting to get, I don't want to say ugly. It's not ugly yet.
It's pretty close to ugly.
It's just uncomfortable.
It's unattractive. It's, it's on the door of ugly.
it needs to get itself together. The Texans have shown no interest in trading Deshaun Watson despite wanting him out of Houston. And that has reportedly made Watson's camp all the more frustrated with the organization. It could also lead to a stalemate with the team if they continue to refuse to listen to offers. Houston Chronicle's John McClain said the time has come for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson. So, you know, we're all kind of waiting in this pause situation where the Texans are saying they're not going to trade him and Deshaun is getting more and more bothered with the situation. So they're actually kind of pushing away from each other. The more the Texans are uncooperative, the more Watson wants out. And the problem is the Texans don't have any grace with anyone anymore. Certainly, I'm not seeing anyone in the media supporting them. I don't even see their own fan base being supportive of them and the way that they're handling things. And Deshaun is not trending towards the direction that he wants to stay. I know they're trying to do everything in theory to keep him there, but this could get really, really ugly. If Watson fails to report to the Texans, he would be at risk to lose up to $20 million. If he misses mandatory minicamp or all of training camp in the preseason games, he could be fined more than $3.5 million. If he sits out the whole season and the NFL plays 17 games, he'd lose another $11.2 million in base salary, and the Texans would be able to recover $5.4 million from his signing bonus.
So I don't mind the $20 million off the top bothers me, but he can, you know, he can take a $3.5 million hit. Easy for me to say, but he's going to get paid.
But the issue is, if it gets too ugly, and to your point earlier, teams are starting to make their moves. So you're slowly ticking off options at that position. And once the draft gets here, forget it. All the moves we're going to have been made.
You know, it's funny, though. So I think about this. If I own the Texans, I like to put myself in the story. How would I react? I like building stuff. Like, I really, that's why I love the draft. You know, I've told you, I love mock drafts. So if I ran Houston, I'd be like, all right, let's just build, because the program's a mess. They just let go of their center. Will Fuller's not going to get signed. Duke Johnson's out. J.J. Watt's out. They traded DeAndre Hopkins. So I would love the challenge as the owner and the GM. I'm like, okay, I'm going to rebuild it. By the way, when you do rebuild it, generally you get about 2 years to rebuild it. So you're not going to, you know, you're going to go 3-13. You're not going to get crushed. I would rather be challenged to rebuild something than to hold on to something that's sinking and there's a bitterness around the organization.
Yeah, because that permeates through everything that you do. Like, you can't, and in no way do I think this is, again, I don't think this is Deshaun's fault. If I was running the organization, I wouldn't be running it like a cult. So we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. But once this situation is soured, you have to make a move. We're talking about human beings here. We kind of tend to talk about these things as if it's just a plug and play situation. You have to figure it out. There's personalities and emotions, and he represents your organization. He is the face of your organization. If he doesn't want to be there, there's no fixing that because it starts at the top. Nothing's going to get better from there on out, no matter how talented he is, because he's got to be the leader.
Yeah. Good stuff. Joy of the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
J.J. Watt on Twitter said, source is me. He's wearing an Arizona Cardinals shirt. Some thoughts on that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
March 10th through the 13th, the Big East Tournament tips off at MSG. Will Villanova take the conference crown? Will Creighton or Seton Hall rise up? Or will a Cinderella team emerge? Catch all the excitement on Fox, FS1, and the Fox Sports app.
Gonzaga is the best offensive team I've seen in college basketball in the last couple of years. Baylor's the best defensive team. People think Michigan's probably the best team. And Villanova still feels like it kind of owns. They've really become, you know, it, Gonzaga and Villanova, they don't get all the five-star athletes, but their guys stay longer. So they get an older team, which certainly helps in the tournament. So J.J. Watt chose the Arizona Cardinals. One of the Joy and I were talking about this, is that if you go back, and I don't have it in front of me, if you go back to the last 10 to 15 free agent signings, they've all caught us off guard. Not one has been like airmailed. Like we all kind of, that's why when people say Russell Wilson to Dallas, why not? You can make anything work. So J.J. Watt came out and said, I'm the source. I would have never guessed Arizona, but I will tell you this. I do think Matt Stafford to the Rams is part of this. I think Steve Keim, the general manager, looks at it and says, okay, I got to face Stafford twice, Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo twice, and Russell Wilson twice. We got to get people to get to the quarterback. You see this all the time in sports where like Mark Cuban just said, hey, listen, when we faced Tim Duncan, we had to figure out how to defend Tim Duncan. And I think a lot of, I heard this from two different people in the NFL. They said, and I don't know if I believe it, but two different NFL people told me this weekend, you watch Stafford win the MVP. We're not saying he's going to win the Super Bowl, but Stafford now get Sean McVay and those receivers and Cam Akers and those tight ends, they're like, you watch Stafford's numbers pop. That and they were just saying, you watch Stafford, his production go way. People don't understand. He's never had a great O-line. He's never had a great, you know, he's had great receivers, but Matt Stafford's never really had that support system. So I think Steve Keim is looking at the temperature and going, okay, I got to face Stafford and McVay twice, Russell Wilson twice, and now Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan twice. And I got a college coach. Nothing against Kingsbury, but we don't know if he's the guy yet. So you bring J.J. Watt on, and you're just saying, oh, we'll figure out a way to do it. So that, to me, is when you're in a division, you know, when you're in a division with Peyton Manning in his prime or Tom Brady in his prime, you got to get somebody who can get to the quarterback. How about that? Man. Houston is just there. They got, so they let go of DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt. I think they're going to lose Deshaun Watson. Duke Johnson's out. Will Fuller's going to be out. They just lost their center. They're starting over. They need draft picks. Go make a move.
They're so, clearly starting over. They just don't want to let go of Deshaun Watson.
And again, this is not a shot at Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers, last year in free agency, the Packers went and got Christian Kirksey. They've already released him. And Devin Funchess, who like opted out, so he didn't get anything. And they drafted Jordan Love. It was like, Aaron's got to be sitting there thinking, I just wanted Jared Cook a couple years ago. Could you do me a solid? So once again, Wisconsin's very own J.J. Watt. And it's not that the defensive line for Green Bay doesn't have talent. That's not the issue. But Cleveland was in on this, and they have Myles Garrett. Pittsburgh was in on it, and they got T.J. Watt. So, you know, you do sit there, and I can sympathize a little bit with Russell Wilson saying, can we have a better O-line? And with Aaron Rodgers saying, could we land an occasional free agent? Just one? It's interesting because Green Bay always is like, we're just a few dollars short. They're not going to be able to keep Aaron Jones. They couldn't get Robbie Anderson. I can't get J.J. Watt. So, yeah, I get it. I get when people are upset. I do. By the way, I saw this story. Mel Kiper came out and said, oh, boy. Mac Jones, quarterback at Alabama. Mel Kiper came out and said, I see a lot of Tom Brady with this kid. And I thought to myself, that's a backhanded compliment. What you're saying is Mac Jones isn't very impressive physically. That's what you're saying. And I think 2021, that's a problem. So name the last four quarterbacks that came into the NFL and we weren't very impressed with them physically. Tua. Small, not a great athlete. Dwayne Haskins, bad feet, not mobile. Jared Goff, classic pocket guy, and Josh Rosen. I mean, two are kind of done. One just got traded, and Tua, there's a lot of reports Miami players are out. So I think in 2021, that you got to give me a little wow. I wrote a list this morning. Here are the quarterbacks that are working to some level that we believe are working. Young quarterbacks, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray. They all got a little physical wow. There's a little wow there. Even Daniel Jones, who can't run without tripping over his own feet, he's pretty damn fast. Daniel Jones can run, like straight line speed. He's very much Alex Smith. Like, he can run. He's not real shifty, but he can move. He's a real athlete. So, I mean, I just think the whole, oh, he's got great intangibles. In the last 5 years, that's not enough. You got to, you know, Dak's got intangibles, but Dak is mobile. Dak is physical, and Dak can run. I don't buy pocket guys. And by the way, it's like the Tom Brady body. We can laugh at it now, but if you come out looking like that now, that's telling me two things. If you have a body like Tom Brady back then, that's telling me he didn't have the ability to really get much training help, and he doesn't have a naturally great body. If you come out like that now, that tells me you're just – because you come out of Alabama. I mean, people come out of there like diamonds. They're like carved up. You come out of Alabama with a bad body, you're not a guy that loves the weight room. You're not a guy that's driven by that stuff. So nothing against them, but I got questions about
it's a tough comparison to be compared to the greatest to ever do it, who is also the ultimate outlier
on everything.
Like, we were just talking about this. There was a reason that scout was on him the way it was. He created himself.
Nobody else.
Yes.
Save big on your water and energy bills with Navien tankless water heater. Navien tankless water heaters provide instant and endless hot water. It's spa-like comfort. Navien makes it easy to go tankless. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com. tanklessmadesimple.com. J.J. Watt has a new team. Hour number three, Wade Phillips, as always entertaining, will be joining us. J.J. Watt's out of Texas. Wade Phillips probably still lives there. That's coming up hour three in the Herd.